Our text this morning, as we continue our series through Psalm 119, will be verses 25 through 48. We did the first three letters of the alphabet last time. We'll do the next three this morning. Before I read and preach these three sections, I just want to remind you of the sort of the challenge that I gave you. I want you to think about and pray about memorizing Scripture. Maybe the Lord's calling you to memorize Psalm 119 or portions of Psalm 119, or maybe He's calling you to memorize other portions. I know there are times in my life where I'm more seriously dedicated to the memorization of Scripture, particularly when I'm not in class. That's, you know, a time when I have an opportunity to do that. But be thinking and praying about memorizing verses, or maybe reviewing verses that you memorized in your youth, or what the Lord may have for you. But there are two parts in our passage this morning that talk about meditating on God's words. I just want to remind you and challenge you. One fun thing you can do is you find the letter of the alphabet that your name begins with, or that your last name begins with, and your whole family can memorize just those eight verses and take however long it takes, or let each member of your family pick one letter. But those are some ideas for you as the Lord may lead you to memorize these things. We don't just want to understand them. We want them to be in our hearts so that we can treasure the Lord's goodness and His promises, and so that we can call on them in our time of need. Well, with that, let's go to the Lord one more time, and we'll pray and ask for His blessing for the reading and preaching and hearing of His word. Would you pray with me? Father, I echo the prayers of my brother, and we ask that You would speak to us from Your word even now, and that we would not just be hearers of Your word, that we would be doers of Your word. Cause our eyes to open to the wonder in Your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 25. I invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's word. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 25. Listen to God's words. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to Your word. When I told of my ways, You answered me. Teach me Your statutes. Make me understand the way of Your precepts, and I will meditate on Your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to Your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me Your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set Your rules before me. I cling to Your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of Your commandments when You enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of Your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep Your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of Your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to Your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in Your ways. Confirm to Your servant Your promise that You may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for Your rules are good. Behold, I long for Your precepts. In Your righteousness, give me life. Let Your steadfast love come to me, O Lord. Your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Amen. All of us are like grass, and all our glory is like a flower in a field. Grass withers, flowers fade, and they fall. But the word of our Lord will stand forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Well, once again, this morning you have an insert in the bulletin. And this is an alphabetical translation of Psalm 119, the three sections that we just read. Dalet, Hey, and Wow, the Hebrew letters, translated with D, E, and F as the first letter of each line. So I want to read for you this imperfect but helpful translation before we dive into dissecting these passages. D. Down to the dust my soul clings, revive me by your word. Declaring all my ways, your prescriptions show I'm heard. Describe to me what you instruct. I'll dwell on your wonderful works. Dissolved by these afflictions, Lord, strengthen me by your word. Destroy my lies. Your directions let me not lose. Determined to be faithful, what you decide, I choose. Do not let me live in shame. To your promises I will cling. Directing me with your commands, you make my heart to sing. E. Educate me about your prescriptions, and I'll take them to the end. Entrust me with understanding, and I'll go where you shall send. Escort me with your commands, for they are my delight. Extend my heart to your promises, and not my selfish sight. Eyes must turn from worthlessness, thus in your ways to live. Establish your sayings so I can serve, and respect to you I'll give. Eliminate the shame I fear, because what you decide is right. Even see I love your word, your righteousness gives me life. F. Fill me with your love, O Lord. Your sayings set me free, for then I'll trust your word and not the one who's mocking me. From my mouth, don't take the truth. It makes my hope secure. Forever I will follow you. Your directions I'll endure. Freely I will walk where safe, when I do every instructed thing, focused on your promises. I'll stand before kings unashamed. Finding joy in your commands, I learn to love your law. Fix my hands on your commands. I meditate on them all. Amen. So we're going to begin with this first section, the letter Dalet. That's verses 25 through 32, these first eight verses. There's a common theme here of sorrow. In verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. When I told of my ways, we'll come back to what that means in just a second in verse 26. And then in verse 28, my soul melts away for sorrow. In verse 29, we have false ways in us that need to be put far away from us. In verse 31, we're asking to not be put to shame, So there's this theme of sorrow and shame. We feel like our souls have bitten the dust. And I love, just as I mentioned last week, the sheer honesty, really, of all of Scripture, but especially of Psalm 119. When we read the Bible, and as believers, we don't go around pretending like we're just better than everyone else, right? We're very honest about exactly who we are and even how we feel. And I love how God encourages us as we meditate on his word to say these kinds of things. You know, when we find ourselves sinfully ashamed of who we are and we realize the wickedness of our ways. You know, verse 28, well, how do you feel? Oh, you know, just like my soul's melting away. I feel like my soul is melting. What a raw statement to make. My soul melts away for sorrow. In verse 26, he says, when I told of my ways, you answered me. This is language of confession. We quote the psalm often. I think it's 32. When I, you know, kept silent, my bones wasted away. He's saying here, I'm going to tell of my ways. This is recounting the things that I've done, what's in my heart. And then this word here is like the word for prescriptions. Chakak, we come to the Lord. Statutes in verse 26. We come to the Lord, we tell him our symptoms. We tell him what we've done. We tell him what we're going through. We describe to him exactly what's going on. And then he answers us. He teaches us his statutes. He gives us these prescriptions. And he says, well, this is what you're going through. This is what you need. And we understand by his word that he hears exactly what we told him. He's not like a doctor. You go to the doctor and you say, well, my shoulder hurts. And it's like, I know exactly what you need. You need a knee surgery. Like, were you even listening to my symptoms? And we have a God who listens to us when we pray. When we confess our sins to him, our failures, when we tell him of our ways, when we admit, like in verse 27, that we don't even understand his precepts. I don't really understand all these things that you're telling me in your word. And even when I do understand it, I try to do it and I fail. And I don't do the things that I want to do for you, Lord. And we describe to him our ways. We tell him, we confess honestly exactly how we feel. Even when our soul feels like it's melting, even when our soul feels like it's clinging to the dust, we know that he hears us. And so we beg him, give us life according to your word. I know you answered me. I will meditate on your wondrous works. Verse 27, verse 28, strengthen me according to your word. Graciously teach me your law. Set your rules before me. Help me to run in the way of your commandments. And then at the end of verse 32, when you enlarge my heart. See, what we need is not just some outward set of rules. The psalmist in Psalm 119 wants to make it clear to us that what he's not saying is that all we simply need is to memorize the Bible, know the right thing to do, and then you'll do it, and everything will be fine. You'll be able to stand in front of even kings, the most elite socially, or the rulers, or the powerful, and you will be found glorious because of your ability to follow these rules. He says, no, what we actually need, verse 32, we need our heart enlarged. Or another way to translate this, you may have a footnote in your Bible that says, you know, you set my heart free. There's this idea in verse 32 of our heart being transformed and pulled. It's like almost elongated or stretched, directed towards somewhere else. We need our heart to be enlarged. We need our heart to be changed. We need our heart of rock to be turned into a heart of flesh. And so it's in that context that we move into the second letter, the Hebrew letter he, or as we have here, letter E, verses 33 through 39. And then we have this theme, after we've been repeatedly talking about our sinful ways and the shame that we feel because of our failure and our need to have our heart enlarged, then we have these prayer requests eight times. Give me, teach me, give me, lead me, incline my heart, turn my eyes, confirm your promise, and turn away the reproach that I dread. And then we have in verse 40 a wonderful statement of the gospel, which we'll come to in just a second. So what are these things we're asking for him to teach us and to give us and to lead us and to incline us towards? The way of your statutes, his law. So wait a second. We were just talking about how, you know, it's the law that gets us into trouble. We try these things and we're admitting we can't do all of these things, the law, the statutes, the commandments. The prescriptions themselves don't save us. So why are we spending all this time saying, Lord, teach me how to do these things? And this is where the statement of the gospel comes in verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Now, is he saying that we feel most alive and have the truest sense of life when we are walking in the path of righteousness? Because we do have that ability as sanctified believers by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. He does direct our steps and we are able to do good things, not perfectly, but we are able to do things well and even for the right motives, although not perfectly. Is he saying that when we're doing these things, we're truly alive in his righteousness? Well, I think that's part of it. But I think that there is a deeper sense of this idea of having life in God's righteousness. Now, here the Messiah has not come yet by Psalm 119. But I see this as a beautiful statement of exactly what Old Testament believers needed and exactly what you and I need. We need to be given life by another person's righteousness. And this is, again, the very next verse in this last section. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, verse 41. Your salvation according to your promise. So yes, the Messiah has not come yet, but he was promised in chapter 3 of Genesis. From the very beginning, the Old Testament believers looking forward to the Messiah to come, the one who would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. Behold, I long for your precepts and your righteousness, give me life. Your steadfast love, let it come to me. Give me your salvation according to your promise. Friends, these rules, these precepts, these commands, these are not to save us. These are the things that Jesus did perfectly for us. These are the things that Jesus came to do and then to die because we did not do them. And then to rise again and to send his Spirit so that we can do them better. Not out of a sense of trying to earn our salvation. No, the salvation is according to his promise. Not because we want to follow his precepts so that we will have life. No, we long for his precepts and we have life in his righteousness. And then, as we respond to this good news as a desire, with a desire to follow the Lord, it says, then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. So then we have start to have these specific blessings that we have. When someone's telling us lies about who we are or the state of affairs in the world, or maybe they're telling partial truths and kind of twisting it and spinning it, where should we put our trust? In the Lord's word, verse 32. And then we start having these strange phrases that feel odd to us because we pit the law against the gospel so often. And sometimes it's necessary for us to distinguish them and to look at them separately and to talk about them as if they are opposed to one another. And sometimes Scripture does that. It talks about it in that way, the law of Moses. But Jesus comes to give us grace and mercy. But there's another way of kind of looking at this dynamic, and that is, if you think about the order of events, when did the Ten Commandments come, for example? Was it while the Israelites, exactly. Was it while the Israelites were in slavery? And the Lord says, all right, I have 10 rules. This is an escape plan. Follow the 10 steps and you'll get out of Egypt. Not hardly. I am the Lord your God who rescued you. I redeemed you from the house of slavery. You've already been saved, Israel. Now, let me give you these 10 laws. And so when we hear things like, I hope in your rules, that sounds like legalism, right? I mean, it's in my Bible. It's probably in yours too. Verse 43, for my hope is in your rules. That sounds really strange. Sorry, verse 43, not 42. My hope is in your rules. What is he saying? Well, I know I've sinned, but I place my trust in the commandments of the Lord for my salvation. You know, we actually are saved by the righteousness of keeping the Ten Commandments. It's not our righteousness, though. Again, even saying that, you're like, oh, he just said a heresy. But no, we're saved by following the Ten Commandments, by following all the rules of the Lord. It's just that Jesus did that on our behalf because we could not. We failed. We rebelled against him. We broke every single one of his commands. But Jesus didn't. Our hope is in the law that was obeyed by the Messiah for us. And now we have further hope, now that we have been saved, to walk in his ways. Because we know that when we obey, we do have the ability to obey. Again, not perfectly, but we do have the ability to obey. And when we do, we are so much more blessed in our enjoyment of the Lord. Now, when we walk in his ways, the Lord does not love us anymore. And when we turn our back on him and rebel against him, the Lord does not love us any less. He loves us unconditionally, perfectly, because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. He cannot love you any more than he already does. And he does not love you any less. Now, he will grieve. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We disappoint our loving Father. It makes him sad when we hurt ourselves by turning our backs on him. And we experience a different experience of our relationship with the Father. Although it's not broken, our sin does not make us no longer in relationship with the Father. But we don't feel it as well. Satan uses our sin, twists our heart into doubting the Lord. And so this is why we hope in the law. And we say things like in verse 45, I shall walk in a wide place, for I've sought your precepts. I can freely walk where it's safe when I do every instructed thing. There's not so much danger everywhere. It's like we're in a wide plain, not this narrow little trail with snakes and all sorts of dangerous creatures. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. I want to give an illustration of following the instructions. Verse 27, back in the first section, says, describe to me what you instruct. These are the instructions of the Lord. We need them described to us. Make me understand the way of your precepts. Because even as believers, sometimes we don't know what the Lord is asking us to do. and we lack the wisdom to execute the things that he calls us to do. And my wife reminded me of a pretty funny failure of mine from this past Christmas. So we had this basketball goal that needed to be assembled. And I spent a great deal of time playing basketball, and I know what a basketball goal is supposed to look like and how it's supposed to function. And it was a nice one with a breakaway rim and all this stuff. And so I was like, yeah, I can do this. You know, I'll follow the instructions. I know where I'm going. I know the end goal. Well, one of the first things it says is you're going to need two people to assemble this part so that it doesn't fall over, or, you know, you're going to have to have two people. And I was like, well, you know, everybody else is asleep. This is a late night project. I'm trying to have it ready for Christmas morning. So I did something. I felt like it was extremely clever, and I rig up. I find a ladder and a chair, and I have this kind of elaborate rig so that the basketball goal will not fall, and so that I can put it together because it's too heavy and too long. It's, you know, 10 feet long for me to put it all together by myself. So I rig it up, and I get through, and I'm actually following the destructions, as we call them in our family. They're the destructions, and I'm flipping pages, and I'm looking at the diagram, and I'm doing everything that it says. And I put the last bolt on there, and I tighten it down, and I step back, and I realize the chair, the ladder, is actually through the basketball goal, so that you can't put it up without the ladder. So I had to go back and start completely over late Christmas Eve. I felt I was so clever. I followed the instructions to a T, except for the very first thing it says is, you're going to want to get some help here. Friends, God's word, it's not a set of instructions so that you say, like, I can actually do this. I don't need any help. I can memorize it. I can read it. I can obey it. And then I'll have a basketball goal. I'll be righteous. And I'll live this great life. And I'll be happy. And I'll be holy. And I'll be healthy. And I'll be wealthy. And at the end of this life, I can say, I did what it said to do in the instructions. Friends, the most important part of this is that we recognize our need for the help of another. These precepts, these rules, these instructions, these directions to follow, it's following our Savior who has saved us. It's doing what he calls us to do, recognizing that he's done it for us. That is the only way we can say things like, forever I will follow you, your directions I'll endure, verse 44. Because we know that he has saved us. He is the one who has changed our hearts, and he is the one who has done every instructed thing for us. And that is what we're called to meditate on. That's what we're called to memorize. That's what we're called to dwell on so that we will not live in shame. And especially when you find your soul clinging to the dust and it feels like your soul is melting, remember, the Lord Jesus gives us life in his righteousness. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we need your help. We need your help to know this in the first place. But we especially need your help, Holy Spirit, to remind us when we think we're being so clever, putting together our lives on our own. Lord, let us truly follow your instructions by trusting and the one who's done it perfectly. For it's in your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray. Amen.